Hare Krishna. We are reading today from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I was expecting that there is a book for me, but it was a false expectation. I need a book, and I need it in English because the lecture is in English, and it needs to be from Adi Lila, first, 7th chapter, verse 25. Maybe while our devotee is looking for this text, I can have one of your iPhones, flying a iPhone, or whatever it is, so that we can start. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Where is the text was already on the thing. Yeah, but
yeah.
We will later. Not yes. Take it. We will later use it here. Yeah? Oops. So it is here. Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Strivrita balaka yuva sabare tuvaya.
Strivrita balaka yuva sabare tuvaya.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Yes, someone else please.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Back to you, please.
Uchalila prema vanya chodi ke vedaya.
Srivrita balaka yuva sabare duvaya.
Uchalila,
Uchalila
became agitated. Prema vanya,
Prema vanya,
the inundation of love of Godhead. Chodike,
in
all directions.
Vidaya,
surrounding. Stri, women. Vridha,
old man.
Balaka,
Balaka,
child.
Child.
Yuva.
Yuva.
Young man. Sabare.
Sabare.
All of them.
All of them.
Duvaya.
Duvaya.
Merged into. Here's the translation of this text. The flood of love of God had swelled in all directions, and thus young men, old men, women and children were all immersed in that inundation. And Srila Prabhupada's comments here. When the contents of the storehouse of love of Godhead is thus distributed, there is a powerful inundation which covers the entire land. In Sridhar Mayapur, there is sometimes a great flood after the rainy season. This is an indication that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the inundation of love of Godhead should be spread all over the world, for this will help everyone, including old men, young men, women and children. The Krishna consciousness movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that it can inundate the entire world and interest all classes of men in the subject of love of Godhead. There's a following verse which I would like to read as well. Sajana dujana pangu jada andaghana prema vanya yadu vaila jagatera jana. The Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. Purport. Here again, it may be emphasized that although jealous rascals protest that Europeans and Americans cannot be given the sacred thread or sannyas, there is no need even to consider whether one is a gentleman or a rogue, because this is a spiritual movement which is not concerned with the external body of skin and bones. Because it is being properly conducted under the guidance of the Panchatattva, strictly following the regulative principles, it has nothing to do with external impediments. And the next verse says, a plural number, describes that the five members of the Panchatattva were really drowning the entire world with love of Godhead. As a result, the seed of material enjoyment, this means this desire, material desire, in the living entity became completely destroyed. No more material desires left. Panchatattva members became all extremely happy. Then it gives the monsoon example. The more the five members of the Panchatattva cause the rains of love of Godhead to fall, the more the inundation increases and spreads all over the world. Prabhupada, you can see his pulse here. He says, the Krishna consciousness movement is not stereotyped or stagnant. It will spread all over the world in spite of all objections. But here it is indicated that this process will spread and inundate the entire world with Krishna consciousness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Haskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta
Govinda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Before starting, I want to pacify your mind. I think we know it's a little late than usual, but today we have heard that our movement is not stagnant. It is not stereotyped. What to do? Today the Lord was not ready, so soon he was resting a little longer, or dressing a little longer. And therefore everything became a little late, but don't worry, because we fortunately do not eat breakfast prasadam today. There is no collision of interest. We have the day we don't eat breakfast, and therefore we can be absolutely concentrated. There is no irritation, what will come with my regular meal. No problem. So I would like to come to this image which is explained here, which is very nicely pictured in a picture which I have, which is at the moment at our Schloss in Berlin, our castle, the Dharma Castle. There is, you can see, Gornitai on this picture are dancing. It's very beautiful, and above them is a monsoon cloud, and from this monsoon cloud an incessant fall of beautiful raindrops comes, and you see the Gornitai standing like this, and you can see the water is accumulating in the palms of their hands, and from there is pouring like rivers into the world. It's a beautiful picture, and I invite you to see the original by visiting the Dharma Castle in the near future. It's really a memorable picture. It is this picture which is invoked here by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, a flood of sweetness, a flood of love. And this, it is this picture which has been taken up by later writers like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur again and again. They compare the spreading of Krishna consciousness with with monsoon showers. And I would like to read you one later work. It is written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's an introduction to his book Madhurya Kadambini. Ritva prenava bhakti shasya bitate sanjivani swagama rambika mataparito dahadamani vishva pagolasini durame marushakino pisarisi bhavaya bhuyat prabhu Sichetanya Kripani Rankushama Madhuya Kadambini. I will make a little music, and the causeless and completely independent mercy of Sichetanya Mahaprabhu is like a great monsoon cloud that rains on the field of the devotee's heart, making the crops of ninefold bhakti grow. From the moment where this great monsoon cloud appears, it extinguishes the scorching summer heat of material desires and fills the river of the universe to overflowing. May that nectar cloud, even from afar, from the distance, refresh me, a dried up desert tree. let us recapitulate, whatever the English is, recapitulieren. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and compares this mercy to a monsoon shower. He then compares the heart of the devotees, our hearts, with the field. And he says, when someone gets that monsoon shower of mercy, then there will be a crop. Crop heißt so viel wie Ernte oder Feldfrucht. There will be a harvest. That means the ninefold process of bhakti will come. When you get the mercy of Mahaprabhu, in simple languages, you will become absorbed in Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran, Padasevanam, and all the other five processes of bhakti. He also says that there is an indirect result. The direct result is that you become enthusiastic for bhakti. The indirect result is something which also is very, very blissful. The heat of material desires will abate. It will come down. No more this fire of material desire. When you get this monsoon shower of bhakti by Mahaprabhu's grace. He also says, he gives a prophecy, that the whole world will be filled by and by with the effects of the monsoon shower. And then he ends his verse with a beautiful prayer. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, extremely poetical. He says, may the nectar cloud, even from a distance, refresh me, a dried up desert tree. Even from the distance, what does this mean? The Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared 522 years, something like this, ago, or 23, I'm not exactly very sure about the years, but so there is some distance, some time distance there. Now we are the 520 something years later, and we stand there alone in the desert of material life like a dried up desert tree. But it is, he says that may the nectar cloud even reach me who are standing in the distance, who are not actually standing right there. So this is an introduction to the work Madhurya Kadambini, and I would like to go through all these points because we need to understand why does Krishna, does Kaviraj Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in fact all the great Vaishnava Acharyas, compare Gauranga Mahaprabhu with the nectar cloud, and more important, how can we, dried up desert trees, I hope you're not offended by this, how can we also be flooded and be nourished by Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Do you think this is an interesting subject matter? So Hare Krishna, Arane, seeing you. You understand my English?
Yes, thank you.
Good. So, first of all, Madhurya Kadambini. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showers is like a cloud bank in the distance, which showers rainfalls of Madhurya. This means sweetness. What exactly is the sweetness which Mahaprabhu spreads? Well, it's It's Krishna's sweetness. In the scriptures it says Krishna sweetness is culminating in his Rupa Madhurya, his extraordinary sweet form. His form has an eternal beauty, and all the activities which are done with this form and all the gestures which Krishna does, like for instance he will look like this or he will move his eyebrows, all the gestures which Krishna does are madhurya, extremely sweet. And anyone who comes in contact with this form and the activities and gestures of this form is conquered forever. Of all of Krishna's wonderful qualities, his Rupa Madhurya, the sweetness of his form and the activities and gestures of this form are absolutely mind-conquering and heart-conquering. They are so beautiful that we are defeated by beauty. We are defeated. I've heard that Michael Jackson was considered to be beautiful. No? Well, it's a question of taste, but I heard some women found him extremely beautiful and fainted when they saw him. Yeah, they fainted. I have heard this. I have not fainted myself, but I heard that this was the effect. So imagine if an ordinary conditioned soul, you could say he has some extraordinary talent as an entertainer, must be, I'm not so familiar, it is after my time, but if he is so beautiful that 20 women just faint when they see him, just imagine after having understood that beauty can have such an effect on you, and you see something very beautiful, you go, just very surprised, just like you eat a rasagula and it's, if it's very, very nicely cooked, you go like, you know, it's like this. You also react when you, in this world, when there's something which has, it's called chamatka, it's surprising, it gives a certain mellow. Now Krishna's beauty, my dear devotees, is so, so beautiful that it is described when sadhus have had even a spukti, that means a very brief, flesh-like appearance of Krishna's beauty in their purified consciousness, they have gone totally mad. Nothing of this world was again attractive for them. They only wanted to know where is Krishna, and they spent the rest of their time looking for Krishna. We know even in his Vishnu form, Parikshit Maharaj saw once the Vishnu form of Krishna, which is not Rupa Madhurya, which is a little sweetness but not comparable with Krishna. For the rest of his life he was known as Parikshit, he who looked for this darshan, you know, the investigator, he would investigate where. So Krishna has four sweetnesses, you know, you must know, but all of them come together in his Rupa Madhurya, his Prema Madhurya, his Venu Madhurya, and Prema, no, Lila Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, and Rupa Madhurya. Rupa is the sum total of his Lila Madhurya, the sweetness of his pastimes, his Prema Madhurya, the sweetness of his love, and the Venu Madhurya, the sweetness of his flute play. This madhurya or sweetness is the essence of God. If you look for the essence of Krishna, it will be madhurya, sweetness, conquering sweetness. Shukadev Goswami has described this. When devotees even only hear about Krishna, what to speak of seeing him, they become maddened with love, huh? Because the essence of Krishna is madhurya. Our Upanishads confirm this. The Taittiriya Upanishad, as you all know, says rasavaisaha, God is this rasa, this taste of sweetness personified. That's the definition even in the Upanishads of God. And what that means really, he's sweet because of his extraordinary pastimes, his love, his flute playing, and everything comes together in his form. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is now very important, is that Krishna who entered the heart of Srimati Radharani in order to understand her love for him. If you really want to understand a person, will you look at his hand? Let me understand him by his hand. Well, there's a science where you can understand a little bit from the hand, but there is more. If you really want to understand what is the person, you have to look into the heart. I know when my mother wanted to understand me, what I was really thinking, she would say, come here, come here. And I loved my mother very much. I followed my mother like anything. So I came, and then my mother looked into my eyes, deeply into my eyes, and then she knew, you're saying this, but I know that you're thinking that. Because mother can look through the eyes into the heart. I later asked her, why did you always look into my eyes when you wanted to know about me? She said, because I looked into your heart through your eyes. If you want to understand a person, look into his heart. Try. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Krishna, wanted to understand the love of Radharani, and that's why he really entered her heart. Entered the heart and came out with her mood covered in her golden the complexion of Radha's love. The color of her love is golden. This is color science. I will not go into details here. And he wanted to know how Radha loved him. And he wanted to, the second thing is, he wanted to know, what is my sweetness and the way she experiences it. Do you sometimes have this in your own personality, to where you want to know, you know, we are reflections of Krishna. We also have this, I wonder how I look through the eyes of others. Do you also have this sometimes? I must look very foolish, because, you know, you think like this, or I look maybe, you know, when there was a time of the Gauranga Bhajan band, I would be on the stage and I would show my liveliness on the stage, and people also fainted. Once 33 people fainted, we counted them, because it's the use of charisma, it's called. And I was afterwards thinking, I wonder how I look, you know, what do people see in me? I just see I'm a lazy fool who likes to eat and sleep, you know, but apparently people see something else. I wonder how. So Krishna, this is a reflection, you know, we human beings have the reflected psychology. So Krishna thought, I wonder how I I look from the perspective of Radharani. What does she find in me? You know, what sweetness? You know, and therefore he wanted to leave his godhood aside and just look at himself from the perspective of a devotee. And he wanted also to feel the bliss that Radha attains when she relishes the sweetness, when she goes like, wow, Krishna, so wonderful. He wanted to fulfill these three desires, to understand Radha's love, to relish his own sweetness, and to relish the bliss which Radha feels when she relishes this sweetness. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a taster. He's a relisher. He is a connoisseur. You say in French language something like that. A connoisseur, a relisher of Krishna's sweetness, and he wants to distribute it. He has a sweet shop of Krishna's Venu, what is Lila Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, and Rupa Madhurya. He has a sweet shop, and he relishes these sweets. And he wants to distribute all the sweets, you know, to the rest of the world. You know these Vrindavan sweet carts? You know, they have these four rinky-dinky bicycle wheels on a little something like a platform, and there are the towers of Sandesh and Rasagula. They are so dangerously sweet that even if you're touched by the shadow, you die instantly. It's so, or your tooth fall out, it's so sweet, you know. So Mahaprabhu has the sweetness of God in his, you know, he came to experience this. It's right before him, and he wants to hear Jayagopal, eat one, hear Agdalavya, eat one, hear Bhagavati, eat, don't be lazy in eating, you know, eat fully, you know. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because he is in the process of relishing, he's just so absolutely overwhelmed with the sweetness that he loses one quality which Krishna has. Krishna gives his beauty and his pastimes, the revelation of his qualities, only to those who are very deserving. Fully surrendered souls get the mercy of Krishna. Savanama Parichaja, he says, give up everything, you know, and surrender unto me. Then Krishna is ready to do something for you. But this, you know, distinction of who is qualified and therefore entitled to receive the highest gifts of God is not with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is totally relishing this sweetness, and it has a profound effect on him. It makes him mad with ecstasy, and therefore he just doesn't look when you stand before his door if you are qualified. He gives you the highest. There is a verse by our Prabhudananda Saraswati goes like this. Patra vicharanam na kurute na svam param vikshate deya deya vimashako nahi nava kalapatiksha prabhu sadyo vashavanekshana pranamana jyamadina julabham date bhakti rasam saiva bhagavan gaura param megati. Lord Gauranga is my only shelter, for he bestowed the taste of divine love, which is so hard to attain, even through devotional practices like hearing, taking darshan, paying obeisances, or meditation. He says it's so hard to get these treasures of devotional service, even through these normal practices like dandavats and darshan and hearing a lot. But Gauranga gives this without judging who was deserving and who was not, without discriminating between friend or enemy, without awaiting an auspicious moment, or without considering whether this treasure should be given or should not be given. Mahaprabhu didn't have this consideration in him. He just didn't have this idea, here's someone who's not qualified, let me withhold my treasures from him. And that makes him the most merciful of incarnations. And therefore, the scriptures consider the only example which the acharyas find for him is, he's a cloud bank of sweetness. What happens when the cloud bank bursts? Everyone gets mad. Everyone. He may be the bankman of Switzerland with a lot of money. He may be a beggar. He may be a girl who has just come from the coiffure, the friseur, who has a very, very amazing frisurski, you know. The water comes on him, and maybe a bold-headed Hare Krishna, everyone gets the rainfall. Dogs, ants, camels. When the cloud bank bursts, everyone gets flooded. No question of he gets flooded or not. That's why this example has been given. Now, Krishna Das Kaviraj describes this when at Lord Chaitanya's time. The rising flood of this monsoon shower expanded in all directions, drowning everyone, men and women, young and old, gentle and wicked, lame, dull-minded, and blind. The entire world was submerged in divine love, which destroyed the seed of ignorance in all living beings. When we look at the historic records, I'm reading now an academic work on Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It's called The Final Word, and it's describing how Chaitanya Charitamrita is the final conclusion about Gauranga Mahaprabhu's amazing personality. Then we hear, you know, when Mahaprabhu started his kirtans, through which he distributed love of Godhead, I mean, everyone took part in this. Even Muslims who had, you know, for Muslims it is forbidden by their scripture to change beliefs. You know, they get tortured and then slaughtered. I mean, really, there's a death penalty. But even Muslims were just flying away in love of Godhead, you know. Even those who didn't want, in other words, were overwhelmed by this flood, just like when a rain flood comes, you are helpless. Do you know that more people drown in the desert than die of lack of water? And that is because, no, really, there are statistical numbers. I've studied this very carefully. It's once a year it rains in the desert, and then tourists sleep in what is called the wadis. Wadis are dry river beds, and the flood comes, and they sleep, and then they are swept away and drown. Be careful in the desert, so that you don't drown. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? So yes, this happens. So I would like to give you an example of how Mahaprabhu really flooded everyone from the scriptures. It was, you know, when he had taken sannyas and left Navadvip. Navadvip was very, very, very desolated. But he returned after sannyas on his way to Vrindavan. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. And we hear how Mahaprabhu visited Vidyanagara, a town on the bank of the Ganga, and his host said, you know, all these devotees have not seen you for so long, and they are dying from your absence. Can you please just come out and show yourself to them? And then it describes how Gauranga Mahaprabhu left the inside of the house. He originally intended to just go through Navadvip, but on the request of his devotees, he gave the darshan and he sang. And my dear devotees, when he started to sing, from all over, people came rushing towards him to join this kirtan. People were not even thinking, how do we cross the Ganga? Somehow they crossed. Some took boats, but the boats all were sinking because too many people, you know. They were not thinking about these things, you know. They were not at all. They were just attracted by the sweetness of which the Lord distributed. You know, the sweetness was just... Oh, it pulled everyone. It pulled their souls, and their bodies had to follow. Some took cut banana trees, and 20 on one banana tree, you know, in India, just crossed the Ganga. Others took their clay pots and just didn't put them like this with the opening up, you know, they just, how to do, you know, like this, huh? And then they, five people on one clay pot swept. But then, because they didn't know, Indians don't know swimming in great detail, you know, and they were just somehow crossing. But finally there was nothing available any longer, you know, to help them cross. They just somehow plunged into Mother Ganga and no one drowned. They just, it is describing that the Ganga turned black. Why? Because Indians, you can see our Indian guests have black hair, not blonde hair, black. And everything became, because there were so many people, it was absolutely black from the black hands of people. and they all came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the banks of the river filled with millions upon millions of people. There were really many. There was a mass movement. And they all totally experienced the distribution of this sweetness of Krishna. Madhurya, these different types of Madhurya which you have heard about. So now, when someone gets in contact with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and this is now very serious for you. You must listen now very carefully. If you fall asleep or your mind goes somewhere else, you will not get the benefit from hearing this. You must know one thing. Little psychology. We all have a chitta. It is a subconscious mind which is informing usually our conscious decisions and our conscious mind. Now, this chitta is a big problem for those who are not Krishna conscious, because they may practice with their intelligence and with their mind the processes of Krishna consciousness and understand many things. But as long as your chitta vibrates with material desires, you have no chance. Have you ever seen this? That you do so many fantastic sadhanas. You dress like a devotee. You put tilak on. You get up early in the morning. You eat the right things, you know. You look at the right things. But still, at one time, you have a material desire. Have you noticed this? Or am I the only one? I think in Switzerland we are very shy. We don't speak about our citta. You know, we speak about everything else, the show around it. You know, that's a big problem, Radha Kripa. Yes, that makes us blow our nose, this problem. It's really amazing. Unless that is purified, bhakti remains a good theory. A good, fantastic theory. It does something for us. But so Mahaprabhu, this is the example of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He compares this citta, this consciousness, with a field. And by Mahaprabhu's mercy, this field becomes irrigated, and as a result, the crop or the harvest, the ante of the ninefold process of bhakti grow. In other words, when you get the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, my dear devotees, from the deepest place in your heart, your chitta, you like Krishna consciousness. You like chanting all of a sudden. You like bhakti. It is something which is growing from in that field of chitta, you know. That is why this example is given. You must know in the Shabdasara, that's a scripture, yoga scripture, it says, the heart is the place from which desires appear. And it means this chitta, you know, chitta, sometimes we say heart for it. It's the place from which desires appear, and it is the place into which the desires merge when you are purified. They disappear there. It is the basis for the conscious mind's inclinations and dispositions. In other words, this heart, this field, is informing your conscious mind so that you have inclinations and attitudes and dispositions. And here is where Mahaprabhu's gift has to be rooted. Now, you might say, like many of us have said many times, and now Mahaprabhu has left. You said what he did. You gave an example when he visited Navadvip, how all these people were totally transformed. But now he has left. What is with us who have come after Mahaprabhu? Do you sometimes feel like this, Jai Gopal? Rupa Manjari, do you feel like this? I sometimes feel like this, and there are prayers. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, why was I not born at Mahaprabhu's time? Why not? Why was I? Even I prefer to have been an atheist at Mahaprabhu's times, like the sannyasis. Under Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, then I would have witnessed how Mahaprabhu came and discussed with Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, defeated all his arguments. My arguments would also have been defeated. Why was I not born? Even as an atheist, I prefer this position to being now here, you know, in 500, so many years later. Why was I not? Do you sometimes feel like that? Sometimes you may feel also like this. Why was I not born earlier, just a little earlier, then I could have met Prabhupada. Do you sometimes feel like this? Or I feel like that if I was just a little bit older, then I could have run away a little bit earlier from home. I would have jumped into a ship and gone to New York, and there I would have been with Prabhupada. Why not? What? Just a few years. You know, I'm thinking like this. I think it's normal to feel like this. I've missed the boat. You know, this. Sometimes we feel like, don't you feel like this? Or I'm often feeling like this. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you need to again listen very carefully. He says, or he prays, that okay, the monsoon cloud of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who did all these wonders, was in the distant past, 500 years. I don't know how much distant it was from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, maybe 200 years. I'm not so good in years, as you know, but also distant. He said, may that monsoon cloud even shower a dead, dried up desert tree like me, you know, who was standing in the desert. So he seems to indicate that even those who are distant by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have a chance to be benefited by him. And the logic here is, yes, it is possible, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributes his mercy through a very particular way. There's one way is when he had his people had his darshan, and Lord Chaitanya would dance and Puri it is described, and he would cry tears of ecstasy and would sprinkle all these people with their tears of ecstasy and with his tears of ecstasy, and that survived them, that saved them. Just like when Krishna saw the dead people, the dead cowherd boys who had drunken from the poison in Kaliya Lake, he cried and he looked at his cowherd boy friends, and his tears, which were in the eyes, his tears of love, fell on the cowherd boys and revived them instantaneously. So Mahaprabhu also, during Kirtan, he would cry. And his tears came out like a syringe, you know. And people would obviously be totally ecstatic, you know. That was how the monsoon shower of Mahaprabhu's mercy was distributed. So there was one way, but there is another way. Mahaprabhu told several devotees that when I'm gone, when I have left, I appear where there is my kirtan. He said like this, and he promised this, and he did it a few times. He did it. For instance, there was this kirtan which Nityananda Prabhu did in Panihati, where Mahaprabhu appeared, and everyone couldn't see him, but what they could smell is the fragrance of his garland. He liked a particular flower, the Damanaka flower, and that fragrance lingered in the air, like sometimes we know. I know some devotees, I think our Purushottam Krishna earlier in his life liked patchouli, and even when Purushottam Krishna was gone from the room, you could smell patchouli in the room. And I knew Purushottam Krishna was in this room. I knew like this by smell. So Mahaprabhu was not seen, just like a person who wears patchouli is not seen, but you can you know he is there by this fragrance in the air. It's like this, and he came in the kirtan from Puri. He came somehow in his not somehow, but in the way God can appear somewhere. And Mahaprabhu said he would do this where the kirtan is done. He made this promise that wherever kirtan is done, and I know Prabhupada took Mahaprabhu up on this promise. He had this amazing program of making Gonitai deities, and he said they would be installed, that means the divine presence of the Lord would be in the deities when the people would do kirtan. So he told his devotees, we never did it because we were young and foolish and ignorant, you know, when in our times. But he wanted that we make Gonitai deities, distribute them all over the world, and like Hare Krishna dolls. Let them believe they are dolls, like the mamushkas of Russia, dolls, and let them just wave an incense stick and sing Hare Krishna, and Gauranga would appear. That was Prabhupada's idea of faith. Now devotees do this. They have Gonitai deities and they offer incense and they sing. Yes, they feel the Lord. They may not see Him, but they may feel Him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this at the later part of his life. He said, by performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. So the result of this kirtan chanting is that you awaken your love for Krishna and attain transcendental bliss, and ultimately you gain the association of Krishna and engage in his devotional service as if you are immersing yourself into an ocean of love. This is the promise for those who engage in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra while carefully avoiding the offenses which block the results from coming. No? So Mahaprabhu can appear, and with him his sweet shop, if you so want, of the different qualities of Krishna, and as a result you will experience Krishna consciousness. Prabodhananda Saraswati says something which I like very, very much. He says, Hanta chitta bhuvime paramo sadayam sad bhakti kalpalati kankurita katam syad hridye kameva paramashavinam yasti chaitanya nama kalayan nakada pishocha. Alas, how, it's a question which many of you have, how will the desire creeper of pure devotional service sprout in the desert of my heart? I don't have a heart where people have a normal heart. I have a desert there. How will this Krishna consciousness take root there? Then he answers his question, in my heart there is only one hope. I shall call out the name of Lord Chaitanya, then I shall never again lament. My dear devotees, on this Gopunim, I want to confront you. Why do you doubt in Lord Chaitanya so much? Why? What are your reasons? You may say, but Maharaj, I'm not doubting, I'm... You are doubting because why are you not flooded with Krishna consciousness? If you would be connected with Him properly, you would dance in mad and ecstasy. What is keeping you from going deeper in Gauranga Mahaprabhu? What terrible curse is holding you back? now the cat is out of the sack. The cats are out of the sack. Ooh, and have all much dirt on and fully morgen. How, let me ask another question. How can we overcome our doubts in Gauranga Mahaprabhu? What should we do? My dear devotees, there is something which I would like to recommend to you. You need to make your connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very strong. And it happens only if you make this a project in your life, if you study his pastimes, if you follow his orders, like engaging in the kirtan, even if you feel dry sometimes, stick it out, stay there, don't run away. You need to have a plan how you come closer to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Each one of you needs to do this. I will tell you now something very honest, which I don't like to tell, but I have to tell it, because otherwise you will lose your faith in what I say. I want to tell you very honestly, for me as a devotee, it's easier to have faith in Radha and Krishna. But just the concept that there is a person who is a combined form of Radha Krishna, it's just so difficult, because there is nothing in my experience that there are two people join and become one in a person. I mean, now one person, you know. It's just something which is unthinkable for me, because I'm a conditioned soul of this world. I've never seen this. How can I so easily place my faith in this? It's too mind-blowing. So one may say, well, okay, then you don't need to understand Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Tattva, but I think we have to understand him in Tattva. We need to understand the truth about him. And I want to tell you another thought which I have on this. Ultimately, you only can understand Gauranga Mahaprabhu's secret if you become a servant in his mission. If you spread his holy name, if you just try to benefit the fallen souls of Kali Yuga in some way or another. I received a wonderful letter which I like very much yesterday. There a devotee said, it's a mother, I'm again out on Sankirtan. What? Such a delicate young, not young, now is an elderly woman, is out on Sankirtan distributing literature to the cold-hearted Swiss people. My God, that's a surrender. But exactly such things are required if you want the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You need to show him that you really want to get that mercy. And then it will come. You may not be super first class. That's not Gauranga Mahaprabhu's thing. You just need to be there. You need to be there, just next to him, just close to him, close to his mission. You can't. Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses it so nicely. O fish-like soul, why do you want to escape the loving net of Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Why do you want to run away? Why? Allow yourself to be captured. Be there. Make arrangements in your life so that you are somehow connected with Mahaprabhu in a nice way. Those of you who live in temples, who have given their life already, listen to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, follow his nice advice. Summer is coming. You should, all the Zurich should be full with Sankirtan. Sankirtan means singing the holy names of the Lord. I've yesterday talked to a very wonderful devotee who is the Harinam leader of the Zurich Brigade, the fire brigade, Fryer Brigade. Oh, I have to learn English very good. What is it? Die Feuerwehr von Zürich, you know, die Devotees who pour out the raging fire of samsara by doing Harinam. This is important. Join the Harinam on Saturday. You know, make it a point in your life. Saturday is my dancing day. I will dance on the streets. Wow. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Pujari Mahashay, for giving us the darshan. So, just come close to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You don't need to be very qualified, apparently, because you don't. You need to just be there in the monsoon monsoon. You don't need to be qualified in the monsoon. You know, just be there. You know, don't. You follow this example. You know, stand in the rain of mercy. You know, just don't run away. And so on. This is very, very important. So, I want to do two more things. I want to read the verse again, which hopefully now we can understand nicely from the causeless and completely independent mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a great monsoon cloud that rains on the field of the devotee's heart, the chitta, making the crops of ninefold bhakti grow. From the moment of its appearance, when you come close to Mahaprabhu, you know, stand there, it extinguishes the scorching summer heat of material desires and fills the river of the universe to overflowing. Ah. May that nectar cloud, even from afar, that means even from a distance, refresh me a dried up desert tree. Beautiful poetry, isn't it? Very beautiful. Very beautiful. So I would like to chant with you now a verse to Mahaprabhu, which we have put there for you. It's a beautiful verse. It is composed by Raghunandan Goswami, who is the son, please help me, of Mukunda. Is it Mukunda? No. With M. No, Mukunda. Yes, Mukunda. 100%. Who is the son of Mukunda. Raghunandan Goswami is a very, very dear devotee. He would do daily worship and he would always pick these most fragrant flowers which grew on this one tree. This tree never ever lost its flowers. And Raghunandan used to be totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that once Gauranga Mahaprabhu met father and son, he asked Mukunda, "Who is the father here? You? Or your son Raghunandan? Who is the father here of the two?" And Mukunda said, "Raghunandan is the father because he's most advanced in the mellows of Krishna consciousness. He's the father. He's older. He's older by Ras." So this Raghunandan Goswami wrote an amazing verse about Gauranga name in the 8 cases of Sanskrit grammar. And it said, Prabodhananda Saraswati had said to us that in my heart there is only one hope. I shall call out the name of Lord Chaitanya. And we will do this now in the 8 cases of Sanskrit grammar. We will call out the name of Gauranga. This is our hope. Our Gopuni, your Gopuni will be totally good. I will read to you first the translation so that when you call out you can bring some devotion to you. Gaura's ecstatic transcendental pastimes are like an ocean of nectar. It is Lord, here Gaura is the subject in this case. No? It is Lord Gaura who is eternally worshipable. Here Gaura is the object. you know, he's the object of worship. Then Gaurina. It is through Gaura that the confidential secrets of Krishna bhajans were revealed. Here Gaura is in the instrumental case, Gaurina as the instrument of action. And then Gauraya, until Gaura everything should be given. Here Gaura becomes the recipient, the receiver of the action. Then Gaurat, no one is more merciful than Gaura. Here Gaura is mentioned in a comparative sense. And then Gaurasya, I will become a servant of Gaura. And finally Gauri, I shall always act by investing all my pride in Gaura. And finally Gaura, oh Gaura, my Lord, please protect me. Are you ready? Can you see Akrura? Could we offer Akrura a comfortable seat maybe there after Aran? It's a
now I can see.
Yeah, but can you see Krishna? Akrura, I think if you sit there, yeah, just maybe you brush that seat and clean Aranya and make it a good seat ready for. Can you see? It's important. This is your only hope. Maybe you want to sit there. Okay. So I will chant one line and then you please repeat after me. Do you feel the difference? Some good rain has come. So I would like to now see if you have any questions about the subject of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Then I will ask in the meantime two devotees to get ready. One is our Krishna Prema Rupa. We have a little ceremony in mind, and the other is our Ananda Chaitanya and Banu Nandini, because we have a little presentation in mind also for you. So who has a question? Jai Gopal has a question. Vinda Devi has a question. Okay, let us start with the two.
In your verse, or what you mentioned about that Mahaprabhu's mercy floats all over, not considering if he's qualified, not qualified, enrolled. Mm-hmm. There I have a little I ask myself, because on the other hand, I remember thinking Mahaprakash Leela, Advaita Acharya says to Chaitanya that, but whoever is proud, he will not receive mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it seems to me like it somehow also contradicts a bit that his mercy is not considered any qualification, but still there is some. How does this fit together? Like behind this question is, when I hear he doesn't consider, I feel happy. And when I hear that you should be humble and not proud, then I think, oof, okay, it's not quite as easy, because I feel often that there's a lot of pride still in me, coming from false ego or material condition.
So I will repeat the question for the recordings. It's a very nice question, which I think must be considered and discussed, and so on. We heard that Mahaprabhu's mercy is independent of qualifications. He doesn't really consider qualifications, but still there is one part in his Leela where Advaita Acharya approaches Gauranga Mahaprabhu and then says, I wish that you give your mercy to everyone except those who are proud. And it seems with this clause, we say in Deutsch, Klausel, this condition, all of a sudden his mercy again is not unconditional, but it's dependent on a certain qualification. The way I have thought about this question very deeply for many, many years, Jai Gopala, I think it is therefore a wonderful that you asked the question, because it is it's a very justified question. Is it really unconditional? I think behind this question is also a little bit a doubt that, I mean, I'm trying, but look at me. I mean, if I look at me, I'm not so convinced that I got the firm mercy. Yes. This is a plant. It's a plant, Radhakripa. It's a dramatic effect that you listen. This is a very important question, and Jagannath is getting fired up about this subject, you know. He says, I'm with you here on this subject, you know. it's an important question. Now, when I feel the eyes of Lord Jagannath on me, I'm not sure how good my answer will be, maybe. He will not me, punish me. The way I really experience this, or the way I have come to the conclusion, you have to just be there. And there are a few things which bring you away, which bring you from not being there. It is, and pride is one of the things, you know, you're not there. Have you ever talked to a person who is so full of himself? Have you noticed that they can't listen to what you say? And you talk one thing and they talk something else, and you know, we are just not connected here in the talk. Have you had such discussions, you know, where you communicate like anything? You try to communicate, but there is no connection. Have you this human experience we have made very often? I think if I look at Bhaktalabhya Prabhu, who is one of our Sankirtan veterans, you know, you meet these people and you try to somehow connect, but that he's standing there, but he's really somewhere else, you know. and you can't then, if you can't connect, you can't, most probably, very often you cannot convince them to take a book, you know, because it didn't make the connection. So this happens, you know, when you are proud, or if you are just not there, you know, you are in your own world, in your own head. How can you get the mercy then? With proud, I mean I don't mean most probably what you mean. You may mean, well, I'm still a little, you know, not free from my male ego, or I don't know, but what you... No, I mean with proud is just that you turn against, you know, that you just... this, you know, like the said Mahaprabhu's flood reached everyone except for the proud students of Navadvipa. You know, they did not become affected very much. Some Bhattataris, some professors of logic. But I really think if you're just innocently there, you know, and you just with faith want the mercy of Mahaprabhu, you have to also have some faith, Gaura, that there's something, you know, something. Then I think the transaction can happen, even if you're not qualified in many ways. I believe what is our problem, Jai Gopal, is that we are just not there. We are not connected. When we do kirtan, we are somewhere else, maybe in Medanga beats, but you know, maybe it could be, I don't know. Or we're just not there. We have this chronic problem of being absent-minded. That's what I have diagnosed in my own life. And then you come, you know, when you're not there in the flood, you know. I once saw this in Zurich. I remember there was. Apparently, it happens always after Ratha Yatra, you know, or during Ratha Yatra. There's this tremendous flood, and I remember there was this rain thing, and you could step out of the rain and just, you know, it was so bad that there were, maybe you were our driver at that time. I don't, there was this deep prison, you know, in the streets of the world. But then you could go somewhere else in the forest, and you could almost feel the rain is here, and you are out of the rain. It's almost like in Switzerland, even the rain is very accurate, you know, not like in Serbia. It's all very bitsy rain, you know. That is really my honor. But also Jai Gopal, I mean, I'm talking to you now like a devotee who thinks about, in a way, I think for us Westerners, we have to want to make the contact. We have to really want. We have this wish, this eagerness. Without this, nothing happens. I think this is the price on everything. You know, eagerness is the price for Krishna consciousness. If you just don't want this, you know, and if you want to live a different life, then what can the Lord do? He will never ever break his principle to take the freedom away from you. That's this principle of God. You know. He doesn't just kidnap you. It would be nice, I sometimes feel like this, but the Lord doesn't do it. It's even in normal lives, it's called criminal actions to intrude the will of someone else. And I believe these eulogies, Lobrin, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are just made clear that you. That the Lord is so merciful that even if you are bad, you know, if you want it, you get it. You know, I think it's that. This is how I understand it. You need to want it. That remains there. Mm-hmm. I can imagine Lord Jagannath has much more to say of this, because he's also very merciful. But I am very fond of person. I can hardly talk this far. Vrindadevi, was ist deine Frage?
Actually, I had the same question.
See, yes, it's a good question, yeah. Good.
But how can we go deep instead of flooding on the top?
On the surface, yeah. You have to want it, Vrindadevi. And sometimes life is a series of events which bring you to the point where you really are exhausted with not wanting Krishna. You know, where you really come to, jetzt reicht's, aber jetzt muss was passieren hier mit mir. And I think that is also a mercy of Krishna, that he sometimes arranges the life of his devotees in such a way that they just come to the place where they say, yes, I saw it again. You know, how do we say this in English? I really got it now. It's enough, it's enough. I will now change. I will now. That is another way of Krishna. It's a wonderful action. I wish you all the best in getting drunk with the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Today, just engage your mind with Gaura. We will have a very nice a session at 5:30 with classical music and everything to make you totally attracted to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We'll read about his kirtans from Chaitanya Bhagavan. If you can be there, please be there. And pray today. Pray to Lord Chaitanya. Show him that you feel when I have an unfulfilled promise. I promised I would give my best in Krishna consciousness. I have not always given my best. I'm a divided soul. You know, one part wants this, the other wants that. I'm still in avidya, covered by avidya. Please help me. So is it all right if we stop at this point? We have two more very attractive points. Krishna Prema, I think you're ready. I want to invite Krishna Prema Rupa Prabhu. Today, one very nice devotee, by the kind mercy of Krishna Prema Rupa, is transforming. He enters the Brahmachari ashram in all seriousness, and Krishna Prema Rupa will praise him a little. It's important that you all are here to give him the blessings.
Yeah, thank you very much, Maharaj. He spoke yesterday, and then Maharaj said, why not tomorrow? And it's very nice, because it's such an auspicious day. I mean, there could be no more auspicious day, and the assembly of all the Vaishnavas in front of Gauranga. So it's very happy for this. And Bhakti Reta is just sitting there, still in white dhoti kurta. I think I met Bhakti Reta about more than 2 years ago. He came to the Sunday program, and that time in army dress.
Oh, the army dress.
See, he had some makeup. So.